Proverbs chapter 2 is where we're looking today. And I'd like to spend this first hour of showing where we're going to go in this particular hour by giving 5 points of introduction to it. Number one, and this is going to seem contradictory to you, but I think it best summarizes the book. The book of Proverbs is random organization. Random organization. Now you say those are contradictory words. How can you be organized and at the same time be random? Well, I think the best way to illustrate it is with my Franklin Daytimer. And this is random organization. It is organized in the sense that the days of the month, the calendar days are listed. And you put things together in an organized way. What's going to happen Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, or what you plan for these days. But it also is a very random type thing. And I'm turning to what I have in mind is section number one. And section number one is made up of things that I hear said that I want to retain and maintain. And it's a group of quotations that I hear on the radio, that I see at various places, and it is entirely random. For example, I look down at one that says, love finds a way, indifference finds an excuse. The next one follows it in order, but it is totally random. It may be separated by several days, several hours, or several minutes, or even a month or so. And it has nothing to do with what went before. There's no connection whatsoever. So I read the one that said, love finds a way, indifference finds an excuse. The next entry in order is, and I always love this one, we're having our advisory board meeting this weekend, or had it, and Lord, help me to be a servant, especially in an advisory capacity. Now, what does that have to do with the one that goes before it? Absolutely nothing. It is totally random. Is this disorganization? No, it's not. It's really organized. And yet, the link between the parts is not always very clear. Now, that is true in the book of Proverbs, and it's true in much of the literature of the New Testament, that the organization is there, the thought flow is there, and yet the position of it is pretty much random. Do you ever have a conversation with someone, and you're talking about a subject in an orderly way, and you say, oh, by the way, and you insert a by the way in there that has nothing to do whatsoever with the flow of the argument. And I ask you to turn to Proverbs and keep your finger there, but look at 1 Timothy for a new example, a New Testament example of random organization. Look at chapter 5. And verse 22. And I'm saying this to introduce us to a type of literature that I think is important, very important for Proverbs, and probably important for the rest of the New Testament, because many times Paul is writing, and he will give a tight argument of this follows this follows this. Oh, by the way, did I mention this to you? And you've got a good example of that, I think, in chapter 5, verse 22. In verse 22, he's talking about ordination. And he says, do not lay hands on anyone too hastily. In other words, do not ordain to the ministry too quickly. And thus share responsibility for the sins of others. Keep yourself free from sin. Oh, by the way, Timothy, no longer drink water exclusively, but use a little wine for the sake of your stomach and your frequent ailments. Now, can you tell me, and then what's he do? Notice he picks up and says the sins of some men and picks up where he left off in verse 22. Well, now, how does verse 23 fit in there? What is the relationship between not ordaining too quickly and giving the reasons why. And sandwiched in the middle is this little remark, by the way, don't drink water only. Drink a little wine for your stomach's sake. And you want to say, how does this tie into the argument? And we got to make it tie in because every outline, if it has a big A, what'd you learn in school? You got to have a big B. If you have a Arabic 1, you got to have an Arabic 2. And that really perverts the study of the Word of God. The Word of God, especially in the book of Proverbs, and let's go back to it, is random organization. And I would like to take a little bit of this hour and come at what we did last week from a little different angle and show how this random organization really does exist. Boy, I'm not even randomly organized. For the third time, I've lost my outline this morning. Jane? Oh, here it is. Now, we said random organization. Also, one of the ways we want to study Proverbs and look at any book of the Bible is on levels. For example, level one flies over the entire book and sees the parts of it. The whole, level one, top of the triangle. Then we take that and break it down into its parts. And each part, and I had outlined for you, I believe, five parts of the book of Proverbs. And each of those five parts breaks down into its division. So let's say we have part 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Now let's take part 3 and break it down to its level. And we find out that part 3 has 1, 2, 3, 4 parts to it. Now we've come from the top of the triangle, broken down again, and then we say, hey, part 4 over here, it has parts. And we break those parts down into level number 3 that may have two parts, whatever, that's random. And then what do? Then we come down to the study of the words itself. Do you see the triangle principle? Big picture, smaller picture, smaller picture, detail picture. And that's what we want to do today and see how that all of this is random organization. So let's put up then the outline for the entire book and say that in Proverbs there is organization. And that's what I'm going to emphasize now. There is organization. And the first part of the organization is 9 chapters long. And it's the message where wisdom stands up and is personified as a woman and says, hey, please listen to me. Will you fools stop being fools? Will you simple stop being simple? Will you scoffers stop being scoffers? And wisdom literally begs to be heard in this particular section. But there is, in this section, organization to it. And let's notice that each section ends and each new section begins with a flagpole. Now, what is the flag that divides 1, 9 through 18 from the rest of the book? And let's go to chapter 10, verse 1, and notice what divides it. Can you see a flag that would begin a new section in Proverbs? What flag do you see erected that gives you a key that I'm through with this and I'm now ready to turn to this? That's called organization. Within that organization, it's random, but it is organized. And the first flag you ought to recognize is in Proverbs chapter 10, verse 1, that says, the Proverbs of Solomon. And so it's not till we get to chapter 10 that the woman has spoken and given her message about how important it is to get wisdom. And now in chapter 10, the author says, these are the Proverbs of Solomon. And he begins to organize those Proverbs. Look, for example, at chapter 10, verse 1, and through 22:16. And at 22:16, you've got another flag. You've had Proverbs of Solomon in chapter 10, chapter 11, chapter 12, chapter 13, chapter 14, chapter 15, on up through chapter 22. And can you see in verse 17 the second flag that says, I'm leaving the Proverbs of Solomon for another subject, and what is it? Incline your ear and hear the words of the wise. And so we break off with the Proverbs of Solomon. We go to the words of the wise until you get to your next flag. And your next flag is found in 25 and verse 1. The words of the wise continue throughout this section until you get to chapter 25 and verse 1. And why is 25:1 a flag? Well, it returns to where we left off, doesn't it? And it says in verse 1, these also are the Proverbs of Solomon. So what do? We return once again to the Proverbs of Solomon, part 2. Now, can you tell me, I can't tell you, can you tell me why he didn't organize better and simply give us the Proverbs of Solomon and move the words of the wise to later? Why didn't he organize? Well, I can't really give that. Why does this saying in my day timer follow the one before? No reason. It's just random. Now, we made a note last week, and I think it's a very important one. Why would the book of Proverbs be random and yet organized? Why would it be random, and yet, at the same time, it is a highly organized book in many ways? Because nothing spells out life better than those two words. What is your life? It's random. You have no idea what's going to happen to you today, do you? Is someone going to insult you? I don't know. That's random. There's no way to plan that. You cannot organize that. How does life come to us? It comes to us in an unorganized manner. And things are random that happen to us. Might be a good exercise today to say, did you plan anything? And you say, yes, I'm organized. Yvonne, what time do you go to the airport? What's your flight? 1:30? You sure? Positive? Oh, no, okay. That's planned, isn't it? That's organization. She knows when she will be leaving town. And on that part of organization, you can probably, you can probably count on it. But how much of life today will be random? I didn't know that guy behind me would spill his coffee down my back. I didn't plan it. I didn't organize it. I didn't know that I would have this particular temptation. And it just comes on you like that, doesn't it? And you're surprised by it. Temptations, things that make you feel good, that you're glad for, things that people say are absolutely, totally random. And between our sessions this morning, you might look at what you plan to do. You plan to go downstairs, get coffee, and so forth. How many random things will happen to you? People that speak to you that you didn't expect to hear from. People that say things that you didn't expect. Well, isn't it nice that God, in His wisdom, said, I know how life comes to you, and therefore I'm going to give you a book of Proverbs that is random like life. And things hit you one at a time that are totally unexpected, and yet there's organization to it. So you see, those two words are really not contradictory. This is life. Life is organized, some people more, some people less. But no matter how organized you may be, no matter how you plan your day, it never is, you're never able to plan down to the random details. Too many things hit you. And that's the way Proverbs is put together, because it's a book for meeting life on the level that it presents its truth. Okay? Now, let me show you a little bit of organization within Proverbs. Look, for example, at chapter 10, verse 1. Chapter 10, verse 1. Now, some of you may have heard this and therefore may be able to answer the question, but do you see any pattern or organization in 10, 1 through, I believe it's about chapter 16? What kind of lines are these? We've learned that in the Old Testament, you often have lines, line one and line two. Line two explains line one explains line two. And then they're connected in different ways. Does anyone see the lines of Proverbs beginning in chapter one? And all you have to do is begin reading and you find out, oh, this is organized. This is put together not by chance, but by purpose. So you begin in chapter 10, verse 1, and as soon as you see it, let me know. The Proverbs of Solomon, line 1. A wise son makes a father glad, but a foolish son is a grief to his mother. Line 1 of verse 2. Ill-gotten gains do not profit, but righteousness delivers from death. Verse 3, line 1. The Lord will not allow the righteous to hunger, but he will thrust aside the craving of the wicked. Does anyone see the pattern? Line 1, these are lines of contrast, aren't they? This is true, but the opposite. And look down of chapter 10. And in chapter 10, you've got all lines of contrast. You begin in chapter 11, more lines of contrast. And then suddenly, I think it's about chapter 16, you break away from that. And in breaking away from that, you come to a mixture of still some of the buts, but nonetheless, you have lines. For example, look at chapter 17. You now have lines of comparison. They're not connected by the word but to indicate contrast, but by words of comparison. And those are marked off by then and. Better is a dry morsel with quietness with it, but a house full of feasting with strife. No, that's not true. It's better, and then the second line is the word then, verse 2. A servant who acts wisely will rule over a son who acts shamefully. And all of a sudden, the but lines are dropped and the and lines are entered. And therefore, do you have organization? Yes, you have the organization into lines of contrast and lines of completion. And he puts them pretty much all together. Lines of contrast followed by lines of comparison, and they are all the Proverbs of Solomon. Now, there's only one person, or kind of person, that would say that the lines of contrast are together accidentally. And Solomon gave no attention to gathering his lines of contrast together, then he went to his lines of completion, and who would that person be? Probably not quite as smart as an evolutionist, right? who thinks everything just fell together and all of the butt lines simply were attracted to one another and they gathered themselves around the idea of contrast. No, that shows planning. So what do we have? They're random, and there's no way to go into these lines of contrast and organize them. I think Solomon just thought of one, wrote it down, later thought of another, wrote it down, with no connection whatsoever. What is the theme of Proverbs? Random contrast that the book builds on over and over and over. All right, let's continue on with lines of contrast and lines of or basic structure, level one. Back to the Proverbs of Solomon in 25, verse 1. And then I think the book concludes with the appendices. However, if you will look at chapter 20, let me show you another area of seeming disorganization, but in which there is organization. This is called the section that is the words of the wise, chapter 22, 23, and 24. And you say, well, is that just a collection of the words of the wise? No, there is order to it, order within a random arrangement. I do not know why he put the words of the wise between set one of Solomon's Proverbs and set two of that. I don't think there is any particular reason, though there may be, but within the words of the wise, they are very organized for the purpose of learning. Look at chapter 22 and verse 17, and we have introduced the flag that says, new section, incline your ear and hear the words of the wise and apply your mind to knowledge. So we set aside the Proverbs of Solomon and began to look at the words of the wise. We don't know who these were. They were sages in Israel that had a great deal of wisdom to impart. But if you let your eye go down to verse 20. Have I not written to you excellent things? And if you notice, if you're using NASB, the word excellent has beside it a number. And you go out into the margin, and the margin says the word excellent could mean previous. Now, if you went one step further, you would find that the word translated excellent is the Hebrew word for 30. 30. And most ancient and modern Jewish scholars introduce this not as the words of the wise, but the 30 sayings of the wise. Now, is that organized? Sure, it's organized. 30 sayings of the wise. Now, if you let your eye follow down to your paragraph markers, notice verse 22 has a paragraph marker. Verse 23 does, verse 26 does, verse 28 does, verse 29 does, and chapter 23, verse 1 does not. But is it a paragraph? Sure it is. The reason they don't put the paragraph marker is it's a beginning of a chapter. So there is an invisible paragraph marker in chapter 23. And as I began to get down to verse 4, I said to myself, I sure hope that the words of the wise are divided into 30 sections. And if you would continue to count your paragraph markers, you will find out that there are 30 divisions of this section. Is that organization? Well, words of the wise are divided into 30 parts. Now, in Hebrew teaching, they always organized for learning. For example, they felt that repetition was extremely important. You say a thing once, you say a thing twice. You don't say it just once. And this is how they get their adjectives. We've alluded to Exodus 1. The children of Israel waxed mighty. They grew. They multiplied. The land was filled with them. He's not saying four things. He's saying, I want to get my point across. And therefore, he takes the spike and he puts it against the flesh and goes, bang, bang, bang. I want you to understand what is being said. That's the Hebrew way. If you would say to a Hebrew, it is a very gorgeous day, he'd scratch his head, that's not the way to say it. It's a day. It's a day. It's a day. And it all adds together to say it's a wonderful, magnificent day. And that's part of the means of teaching. They also had little devices built on the calendar. And one of them is a month is from full moon to full moon, and it is exactly 30 days. It is possible, it's certainly probable historically, but it is possible that the author of the book of Proverbs is saying, I want to give you a monthly cycle, and I'm going to give you 30 things, one to read each day. And if you read each one each day for 30 days, you have read through a tremendous amount of words for the wise. For example, on Monday, read verse 22 and 23, which says, do not rob the poor because he is poor, or crush the afflicted at the gate, for the Lord will plead their case and take the life of those who rob them. Now, that's not long, is it? And you know what will happen if you do that for 1 year? You will probably know those verses by heart. And so built into it is a kind of organization that makes you memorize and remember. So it's very, we know it's divided into 30 sections. For what reason? Probably a section of Proverbs to read each day to aid in the memory of these things so they will soon become part of you. Is that organization? Yes. Can you see a relationship between each one? No. That's random. The organization, however, is there. For example, would you want to spend a lot of time when verse 22 talks about the poor and verse 24 talks about the man given to anger? What's the relationship? Well, I think you'll think and think and think and think and think, and you won't find any. It is random. Why is it random? That's the way life comes to you. And perhaps today you will encounter a person that's very poor. And randomly, later on in the day, you will hear a man at the ticket counter, Yvonne, and he will get mad. He may get mad at you and yell at you and take it out on you. You don't know what's going to hit you next. That's why Proverbs is written the way it is written. It is random in the sense that the events just happen along the line, but there's wisdom for each one. Now, there's another technique that I think God probably had in mind, and we'll see this more later, that God writes his word in such a way that if you don't know it all, you won't know any of it. For example, we'll talk something about some of the portraits in Proverbs. And the fool, for example, is mentioned better than 50 times. You have the Casile. Now, in English, what would we do with that? We would say, chapter 23, the Casile. And we would list everything we had to say about the fool. And when you read 23, you would have a topic of the life and characteristics of the fool. But God doesn't do that. God says, I want you to read it all. Consequently, the fool is scattered from the first chapter, clear through the entire book. You say, well, to get a picture of the fool, I have to read all of Proverbs. That's right. That's the way God has put his word together, not for those who are lazy, but for those who are willing to dig and dig hard in order to gain truth. So our first point of introduction is the fact that you have random organization in Proverbs. Now, we've got time enough to introduce a second point. The book of Proverbs is full of character profiles. It's full of character profiles. And I'm going to divide the character profiles into two kinds. There is the noun profile, and there's the adjective profile. Now, what do I mean by each of these? By the noun, it means God looks at your character, wraps the whole thing in one single passage, and says, not, you are foolish, adjectives, but you have enough of this characteristic that I can formalize your character into a noun, and you are a fool. However, all of us, though not fools, do, second type of profile, foolish things. Doing a foolish thing does not make you a fool, unless you do too many of them. Unless this is sun up and sun down and all day long, you continually make them. And if you look at chapter 1, and verse 22. How long, O naive ones, will you love simplicity? Scoffers, that's a noun, means you do it all the time. This is, and maybe number one would be better paraphrased, under the profile, there's a character set, a character set. However, within the character set, there are people that have characteristics of that set, and in their life, there is a facet of it that is foolish. All of us can say we have done foolish things, we have made foolish decisions, and that is a facet of your life. That doesn't make you a fool. And therefore, in chapter 1, he's talking about the kind of people that describe the whole man. When you see him coming down the street, you just automatically think, here comes a fool. He's demonstrated over and over and over and over and over again. I mentioned last Sunday that on the way over to the office, I come down Vivian Road, and at the bottom of the Vivian exit is a stoplight. I mean, it is a stoplight. I think there are four lights going each way. I know that's there. I have stopped there many, many times because I am not careless. Don't say you're a careless driver. But last week, I had my mind on something else, and I went right through the red light. I did a careless thing. And therefore, one facet of that day was carelessness. But that's not what I generally am, as far as a careless driver is concerned. Can you see the distinction between these two? Look over at chapter 22, verse 15. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. The rod of discipline will remove it far from him. Is this a character set? No, it's a characteristic. And it is there, but is it curable? Yes, it is curable. He doesn't have to grow up a fool, does he? If his parents care, they can discipline that foolish bent out of him. So here is the difference in the character profiles between a character set and a character facet. Now, we'll want to look today at, or maybe it's better to say character set, and would it be better to say character flaws? Whichever gets across to you. is the important thing. And this is much of the book of Proverbs, a book written, so you have to read it all to understand any of it. We will continue with this next hour. Father, we're thankful for your word and your truth. In Christ's name, amen.